Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Give honor to God who is first in our lives and to the Spirit of God that abides in his early Sunday morning service. I bring you greetings from the Generation Baptist Church, Generation GENELATION. Generation means we have a start to finish ministry given by God, exposing the Alpha and Omega. I believe the Lord has sent me to the kingdom for such a time as this, to minister to generations past, present, and future. I honor the past by singing hymns and anthems on a continual basis, to never forget the songs that brought our forefathers and mothers over. I establish the present by appointing junior ushers and junior deacons and junior trustees, and we train them in the fear of the Lord, and we treat them like the church of today and tomorrow, because I believe when I'm gone, the church is supposed to keep on rolling on. Our future is edifying to the Almighty God by singing praise and worship without any music from time to time, so that our church will never get caught up with the method and miss the message. Blog Talk Radio. Y'all ready to have some church? For those of you that brought your Bible, it is the only weapon we have that will put the devil, somebody say, in his place. Mm-hmm. It is the only weapon we have that will give you and I the right to eternal and everlasting, somebody say, life. Uh-huh. It is the only weapon we have that the thieves can't steal and the robbers can't take and the police can't arrest. And I don't care where you live. Somebody said, that's the word of God. I want to turn your attention just for a little while early this morning to the book of Nehemiah, the fourth chapter, and I'm going to begin reading at the sixth verse, Nehemiah 4 and 6. If you're with me, say amen. If you need more time, somebody say mercy. Uh-huh. Mercy is a good thing. And the word of the Lord reads as thus, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together until the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our mind up to pray unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is so much rubbish so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst of them and among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. That's enough. Let the Redeemer of the Lord say amen. I think that the thing that bothers me early this morning about this text is in verse number 10. Mm-hmm. It says that the people in Judah said that the strength of the laborers are giving out, and there is so much rubble. In other words, there's so much he said, she said, and so much drama going on in the church that we're not able to rebuild the wall. Somebody's going to pray for me. Mm-hmm. Seemingly in verse 10, it looks like they lost their focus. And by the time we get to verse 11, it seems like something has jump-started their focus all over again. In fact, if you really read verse 10, you will agree with me that they are really offering a complaint. Somebody say complaint. Mm-hmm. And what happens in the text is that in the midst of their complaint, they are unhappy about their situation. I want to show you something early this morning because the word is very clear about the fact that they had already built half of the wall. So they had accomplished something. Mm-hmm. But in the midst of this accomplishment, they now say it's too much for us to handle. It's too much for us to do. We are so close, but we can't get to it and we can't get through it. And that's what I want to deal with early this morning, because it bothers me between verses 10 and 11. And what I want to talk to you for just a little bit of time early this morning is an antidote for complaint. Look at somebody, if you will, and tell them for me an antidote for complaint. Glory to God. I need a friend, church. I've got some medicine for your sickness this morning. And for those of you that didn't get it, everybody just say, just don't complain. Let that church. I am convinced early this morning that a complaining spirit can really offend your destiny in the house of God. As a matter of fact, I will suggest to you this morning that many of you are not where you ought to be in the Lord because you have spent most of your time complaining and not changing your situation, no more than that, changing your attitude. Say amen right there. Excuse me, if truth be told, a lot of us spend a lot of time talking about what ain't working and what we don't like and who we don't like, and I'm good at English, more than spending time talking about how we're going to let God fix the things that are not working in our lives. I need you early this morning to understand, my brothers and my sisters, from the very first statement of this text, I declared unto you, complaint will offend your destiny. It will inhibit you from getting where you're supposed to get at the particular time you're supposed to get it. And I would even suggest to you also that sometimes God has to let some things happen in your life to show you how to appreciate what he is doing in your life in spite of the thing that you're complaining about. Somebody say glory to God. Because with all of the investment that you have put in with the things you are unhappy about, I would suggest to you that if you just take a little bit of time and look over something, that you overlook the thing that is working in your life and in your favor. Because if it didn't get on your nerves as bad as it is, somebody talk back to me. If certain people didn't hurt you like they do, it is a possibility that you wouldn't even pray at all. God knows what he's doing. If I can just get a witness in here. Say amen. And you will agree with me early this morning. You all know about reaping and sowing, don't you? If you sow complain all the time, complain is what you will reap. It's better for you to close your mouth and hold your peace. Don't add, don't subtract, don't multiply and divide in the house of God. Just tell your flesh, stop complaining. I feel like teaching this morning. Look at somebody and tell them again for me. Or tell yourself, stop complaining. I need you to understand that this thing called complaint can be really deadly to you. Excuse me. As a matter of fact, I was reading the Word of God the other day and looking at God's people after they got delivered from Egypt, and the Bible says that on every hand, all they did was complain. It's in the book. Here God took them out of bondage, opened up the Red Sea, and made a way for them, and then they complained. They didn't have any water, and they didn't have any food. And then God gave them water, and then they complained that it wasn't spring water. Somebody talk back to me. It wasn't Deer Park. Complain, complain, complain. And then God gave them something to eat, and they said that they're tired of the menu. We want the country buffet. Somebody said complain. Glory to God. Excuse me, I had to put a quarter in the meter right there and laugh myself. And then God gave them, he gave them some food, and they still complain, complain, complain. And then God said, okay, I'll give you more than you can handle, and then they still complain. Sound familiar? What they did was overlook the very thing that God was doing in their life. And before I can go any further this morning, I need you to know that we all go on the same page when I talk about this word called complaint. Well, the biblical transliteration of the word complaint means discontentment. Somebody say discontentment. And when I talk about discontentment, it doesn't mean you have to like everything that's going on in your life, but what you do have to do is recognize that weeping may endure for the night, but joy will come in the morning and not complain. That's why God says he inhabits the praises of his people. In other words, you're not ever going to get anything from God complaining. But I do declare if you would praise him, if you would thank him for what he's already done in your life and be content in whatever state you're in, look at somebody and say, he will bless you. Oh, yes, he will. Lord, help me take my time this morning. I feel a little long-winded to the peace and the stability of the relationship with the Almighty God. I would point out to you, whenever you talk about complaint, it is a direct opposition to peace. Somebody say peace. But the fact of the matter is, if you want to meet a person that is discontented, all you have to do is just be quiet and let them do all the talking, and I guarantee you that you will hear nothing but complaint. Somebody say complaint. Mm-hmm. The church is not right. The preacher is not right. The deacons are not right. The choir can sing, but they're not anointed. Oh, I shot somebody in the foot right there. I know I can get a witness in here. All you ever hear from them is complaint, complaint, complaint. In other words, you cannot be at peace and complain at the same time, because your complaint would automatically keep you from getting peace. Somebody missed what I just said. I'll give you another chance. I'll prove it to you. Notice what the word of God said, that he that keeps his mind stayed on the Lord, and that the Lord will keep him in perfect peace. Didn't he say so? Mm-hmm. So if your mind is on complaint, then your mind is not on God. I'm going to put a quarter in the meter right there. And if, in fact, you can't keep your mind stayed on the master, it is then you forfeit your peace. Are you so busy talking about what ain't working, or when you ought to be blessing God for what is working for you? I heard somebody said, I thank God my pocket may not be overflowing with cash, but they're not empty. Mm-hmm. I heard somebody say, excuse me, I do have a few pains, but no more than normal when I was drinking Johnny Walker. Uh-oh, I had the same pain, but I kept going on. But I thank God for legs to walk and eyes to see and ears to hear. Look at somebody and say, I'm blessed. Good thought about it. Excuse me, y'all, that one slipped out. And so, when you look at the reality of this and the whole situation, not only do I forfeit my peace, but I inhibit what I'm supposed to get in my future. Mm-hmm. I need to point out to you early this morning why. Because whenever you talk about peace, because peace doesn't always mean everything is going to be cool and calm. Mm-hmm. Peace means wholeness, a unity, harmony, prosperity to your health and fulfillment. Because if the child of God has no peace, then you cannot be fulfilled. And as long as I keep my mind on complaining and not have peace in my life, I forfeit my wholeness, I forfeit my unity, I forfeit my prosperity, I forfeit my health and my fulfillment in life. Some of y'all trying to figure out why you don't feel good, and I submit unto you early this morning that you don't feel good because you talk too much about the wrong stuff. Somebody talk back to me. If you want to start feeling better, then you're going to have to start talking better. And whatever is not working, you better leave it unto the Lord. Uh-huh. I say, God, listen, I want you to fix it. But if you don't, I'm still going to love you anyhow. And I'm still going to serve you. And I'm still going to lift up your holy name. For weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Give somebody a high five for me and tell them I'm still going to give God all the glory. Now, understand. Understand, my brothers and my sisters, that ultimately when you complain, you forfeit your health, peace, and soundness in mind. And if you check your past experience, what is it that you have ever gone through that God has not delivered you from? What is it that you ever had to deal with or that God didn't work out for you? That ought to be an argument in your own mind. Uh-huh. Because when you think about the goodness of the Lord, whether right or wrong, God still had mercy on you and I. Somebody say hallelujah. I wish I had a praying church. And so the next time you deal with something that makes you uncomfortable, the next time you deal with something that makes you toss and turn all night, the next time you deal with something that makes you second guess what you know the Lord told you to do, you should say to yourself, let me check the memory bank in my record file. And I'm sure you will find that he may not come, good God Almighty, when you want him, but he's always on time. Give somebody a high five and say he's an on-time God. Oh, yes, he is. Mm-hmm. I need y'all to pray for me. And if you read just a little bit further, and just go down just a few more pages, you will find not only was he on time, but you were guilty. Somebody say glory. You were lazy. You were judgmental. And you were a complainer. And he blessed you anyhow. Somebody ought to say mercy, Lord. You ought to give God some glory early this morning. But when you think about it, you should be broke because it was you that messed up the money. You should be dead as you with the killer tongue. You should be locked up because you are guilty. You should be lonely. You have broken up a lot of homes. But we all have made a mess and still is a mess. But God looked beyond our mess and met our needs anyhow. I feel like preaching now. If I can just get one witness in here, somebody say glory. I've got to get out of here. I'm a little congested, but I'm holding on to God's unchanging hand. I've got to move this train. So you need to know that the power of this thing called complaint is that it is not simply an action, but it is an action that is manifested because of an attitude. So that whenever you look at this thing called complaint, the reason I complain with my tongue is because I have a complaint in my spirit. Glory to God. And whatever is in my spirit, it will come out of my body. Somebody ought to hear what I have to say. Hear me with your good ear this morning. And now I need to point out to you early this morning because complaint is an attitude. And understand that if it is an attitude, you really don't have to say a word in order to have a complaining spirit. Or you better listen to me. You can be quiet. Sitting there with your sneaky self trying to act like you're so holy than thou, and your attitude can be perpetuated in your body language. I feel it, the members feel it, the pastor feel it, and God sees it, and it's manifested through your spirit. You ever see folks up in church, and you can look at them and see they really don't want to be there? Somebody talk back to me. You ever see folks that are working for God, and you can look at them and see they are not doing it with their whole heart? Ain't nobody saying nothing to me this morning. And the whole power of that is that they have a complaint and complaining in their spirit. Or let me tell you a secret this morning. If it's in your spirit, it will come out of you. Well, I'll prove it to you. Look in the book of Matthew, chapter number 12. It says that whatever kind of tree you are, that's the kind of fruit you will bear. It says that whatever's inside of you, that's what's coming out of you. Somebody say, preach. That's why some of y'all get mad when you see others rejoicing and working in the church with great joy, even when you were there long time before them. Because just by looking at them, they may have just joined the church, but the spirit of complaint hasn't jumped on them yet. And that's why they're having a good time in the church this morning. But wherever the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, says the Lord. Let me try to close this thing. And so what have we learned this morning? We found out that complaint can be verbal. Somebody say verbal. We found out that complaint can be body language. Somebody say body language. And we found out complaint can be interaction. Somebody say interaction. And we found out that complaint will come out of you. Somebody say it will come out. Well, I'm ready to try to close this. I'm trying, y'all. But I would be remiss if I didn't share with you another definition of the word complaint. But we, the people of the Most High God, need to know that complaint means contagious. Contagious, and it is dangerous. Because when you are a complainer, you have the tendency to look for an agreement. Or you want somebody to agree with you that this one is dirty. You want somebody to agree with you that this one is crazy. You want somebody to agree with you that everybody is picking on you. Somebody say contagious. Good God Almighty. I found out if you hang with folks that is always gossiping, you will begin to gossip. If you hang with folks that's always complaining, you will start complaining. If you hang with folks that was a liar, you will start lying. If you hang with folks that'll cheat and give God a dollar, you'll keep your ties like a thief and a robber. Somebody say, preach, Doc. If you hang, if I hang with people that get over, then I'll get a get over spirit. For the spirit of complaint is contagious. Somebody say contagious. I got to hurry up and get out of here before they come and get me. But as I stand here early this morning, if you will take out the time And the same energy that you use to complain and start praising God and thanking him for his goodness and his mercy. Don't get God started, for when you start magnifying God, when the praises go up, good God Almighty, the blessings will and shall come down. For the Bible says he gave his only begotten son. Some of y'all think I'm making this up, but the text says in the book of Nehemiah, for it is a book about work. Somebody say work. Mm-hmm. It is a book about determination. Somebody say determination. It is a book about focus. Somebody say focus. And the Bible says that they went back to their homeland and they started to complain. Now, maybe somebody said, I didn't know that Women's Day was going to be this hard, and I don't ever want to be the president again. And maybe somebody said, I didn't want to do it anyway because this happened, and this one didn't work with me, and that one didn't work with me. But when you read Nehemiah, it's not talking about the temple. He's talking about the walls that surround the city. Mm-hmm. What he's talking about is rebuilding a wall to protect what's on the inside of the city. I hear him saying, y'all work on the temple, but my assignment is to work on the wall, good God of mine. Because inside these walls, I've got some soldiers that need to do some work in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Inside these walls, I've got some soldiers that was doing good for a while, and now something has happened to them, and they are beginning to complain. I've got some soldiers that's in this wall that were giving God all the glory, and now they done got caught up with the he said and the she said and the drama in the church. And I got some folk that all caught up with this complaining mess and the temple, and they have forgotten about the real temple. Do you hear me this morning? Uh-huh. I stopped by to tell you, if you bought the pews in your church, thank you. If you bought the stained glass window in your church this morning, thank you. If you bought the flowers of this year, thank you. If you bought the case of chicken that they cleaned and fried for service, thank you. If you cooked all the greens, thank you. If you didn't do it for the Lord, I understand why you're complaining, because only what you do for Christ will last. Oh, I hear Nehemiah saying, I know everything we built on the inside is subject to attack from the outside. But let the outside complain. Don't you complain. Uh-huh. All glory to God. And the Bible says, he told the people it's time to start rebuilding. Excuse me. In other words, I've carried you long enough. I can't have no officers that will complain. Do you hear me? I done carried you long enough. I can't have no board members that will complain. You hear me, Pastor? I can't have nobody counting my money that will complain. I can't have no ushers at the door that will complain. I can't have no choir members that's singing the song of Zion that will complain. Because if you start complaining, you won't see the devil. Because the Bible says in verse 11 that the adversary, the devil, which is the devil, said these words. He said, they will never know, and is in the book. In other words, you're complaining and running off the mouth and gossiping and talking about one another so much, you never know I was in the room, sitting right there in the middle. And they won't see me because they're so busy fighting one another. And so the devil said, I'll just come in the midst of them and stop the work of God. For the book says his aim is to cause a work to cease. Oh, you can read it for yourself. It's in the book. But it's time to start rebuilding. And I need somebody to work with me and just stop complaining. If you will, please, early this morning, look at somebody and tell them for me, just stop complaining. If I'm working on the building, and it is a true foundation. The Bible says they got half. They got halfway finished and stopped. Mm-hmm. And then they begin to start complaining. How many know 99 and a half won't do it, but you've got to make 100. And the way to score 100% of the kingdom work is the antidote that you better stop complaining. If you will, please let the church say amen. Maybe you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior. Then I introduce to some and present to others, his name is Jesus. He died on the cross of Calvary that you and I might have a right to the tree of life. All you got to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead and thou shalt be saved. Come on, you can do it. Repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. Wash me in your blood. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness and save my soul. If you meant what you said and said what you meant, God has already did what you asked him to do. And now you're going to have to do some work. You're going to have to find a church that's not only preaching the word of God, but also practicing the Word of God. And sit there to hear the Word of God that your soul may go thereby. Remember, there's no perfect church, and there's no perfect pastor, male or female. And if it was when you arrived, it wouldn't be perfect anymore. Listen, ain't nothing wrong with you. All you need is a few moments with the vision. Until next Sunday morning at 7 a.m., may the God I serve bless you real good.